This is Ozarks at Large. Tony DeBroom, Foreign Minister for the Republic of the Marshall Islands, is on a mission. He's been traveling the globe, talking about how his Pacific Island nation is ground zero for rising seas associated with climate change. And as a witness to a decade of Cold War atmospheric nuclear bomb tests on the Marshalls, Minister DeBroom is also calling for full-scale nuclear disarmament. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
Foreign Minister Tony DeBroom says the Republic of the Marshall Islands, just a few feet above sea level, is now a proving ground for climate change.
People are talking about climate change as something in the future, maybe after 2050 or coming around the end of the century. In our case, it's already happening.
The Marshalls are among the top five places in the world most vulnerable to the effects of climate change, Minister DeBroom says.
We have islands that have disappeared within the last two decades. We have problems of extreme drought on one corner of our country and flooding on the other. We have coral bleaching, the erosion of shorelines.
Rising seas are causing record tides on the RMI. DeBroom says, and saltwater intrusion is affecting infrastructure, drinking water, and agriculture. The RMI cultivates both coconut for copra and oil for export, as well as fruits and vegetables for local consumption.
Well, the impacts are being felt now, and we feel so terribly helpless in combating it, because we do not cause climate change. We do not pollute the atmosphere the same way some of our larger partners do.
Many Marshallese are tapping tropical sunlight compared to much of the world, which is still tethered to carbon-based energy, oil, and natural gas. The United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change in 1997 led to the adoption of the Kyoto Protocol, establishing internationally binding carbon emissions reductions targets for developed nations to reduce greenhouse gas emissions for the first time since the Industrial Revolution began 150 years ago. While most nations ratified the treaty, the U.S. has refused to be bound by it. Still, under the Obama administration, carbon emissions have begun to decrease, and June 3rd, the president vowed to cut carbon emissions from the power sector by 30% by 2030. But it may not be enough, experts are saying. Polar glaciers continue to melt at precipitous rates left unabated. Sea levels may rise as much as 2 feet within this century. And that would drown the Marshalls, triggering a flood of climate refugees. Under a compact of free association with the United States, more than one-fifth of all Marshallese have left the RMI to move to the United States, most in northwest Arkansas, and more could be expected.
If you're talking about displacing people on account of climate change, you're not talking about voluntary movement of people. Now you're talking about forced migration.
Minister Tony DeBroom has been stating his case on a worldwide climate action tour funded in part by the United Nations. A 40-nation climate summit was hosted in early April on the Marshalls. And UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon will hold a climate leader summit this September in New York towards ratification of a new global climate agreement in Paris by 2015. In between trips, Minister Tony DeBroom, who is 70, spends time with his family, including four great-grandchildren in the capital city of Majuro, as well as on their home atoll, Likiap. It was there as a child that Tony DeBroom held a front-row seat for 67 U.S. atmospheric nuclear weapons tests conducted on the Northern Marshalls from 1946 to 1958. Portions of the islands remain intensely radioactive, and residents continue to suffer from adverse health effects as a result of direct and indirect exposure to fallout. So concurrent with his climate change appeal, Minister DeBroom is calling for global nuclear disarmament.
My country was the site of some of the most horrific nuclear tests the world has ever known.
The Republic of the Marshall Islands has filed a landmark lawsuit against the United States, Great Britain, Russia, China, France, India, Israel, Pakistan, and North Korea for allegedly breaching a 46-year-old nuclear non-proliferation treaty. filed April 24th, both in U.S. Federal District Court in San Francisco and the International Court of Justice in The Hague. The lawsuit seeks declaratory and injunctive relief requiring the nine nuclear armed states to comply with their treaty obligations. And although the nuclear weapons tests have ended on the Marshall Islands, the U.S. maintains a strategic military base on Kwajalein Atoll, which serves as a missile defense target range.
We have people who cannot return to their homeland because of the atomic bomb testing. Now we have people who are displaced from their homelands because of the continued missile testing.
Minister DeBroom says while RMI-U.S. relations remain warm, his people languish in poverty with limited resources. Then there's the dearth, he says, of compensation for damages caused by 12 years of nuclear testing. $1.2 billion has been paid out to U.S. citizens exposed to Cold War nuclear test hazards, compared to $760 million in compensation to the Marshallese.
Where is the fairness? Where is the justice here? We have outstanding adjudicated claims against the United States for damage to our property and damage to our health that have still not been paid. The United States simply says, oh, the compact is a treaty, and that took care of that, and any further request is unacceptable.
According to the Nonpartisan Federation of American Scientists, despite enormous reductions of nuclear arsenals, the U.S. and Russia stockpile more than 9,000 warheads. Israel is alleged to have several hundred nuclear weapons. 500 are in Western Europe. China has several hundred, with India and Pakistan packing 100 nuclear weapons each. Rough estimates, according to the FAS. And according to Roll Call, the U.S. over the next 30 years plans to spend more than $1 trillion to modernize its nuclear arsenal.
We have a mandate here to make sure that the world realizes that whatever security they might derive from MAD, or mutually assured destruction, we contributed to one way or another. And we think that eliminating nuclear weapons will open not just the eyes of the world to some sanity, but it will also allow for resources to be dedicated to more worthwhile causes, rather than to the maintenance of these weapons of mass destruction.
The RMI's federal lawsuit names the Departments of Energy and Defense, the National Nuclear Security Administration, and President Barack Obama. In late May, Rose Gottmiller, U.S. State Department Undersecretary for Arms Control and International Security, paid a discreet visit to Northwest Arkansas to confer with RMI President Christopher Loyack. Loyack was on hand celebrating RMI Independence Day in Springdale. In an email for this report, a State Department official responded that Gottmiller sought to express her concern to President Loyack that the United States government received no advanced notice of the nuclear arms lawsuit, but wished to highlight the U.S.'s strong commitment to disarmament. Unless an extension is requested, the defendants have 60 days from being served to respond. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.